Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light, and, you know, given the nature of all this new shit, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Four Thumbs Up. My name is Robin Koppel. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm joined, as always, every single week by my best bud, Bobby Bethke. What's up, dude?
Hello, everybody.
And this week, we saw Lady Bird, the film from Greta Gerwig starring Saoirse Ronan that everyone across the world is in love with. And let's just get right into it. Bob, what did you think?
I loved it. I loved it, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely be one of the 162 fresh ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I loved it. It might be my favorite script of the year.
Wow.
I loved everything about it. I really just don't have any criticisms, honestly. It was just, to me, it was just perfect. What did you think?
That's really interesting, Bob, because what I thought was... So there's a long history with me in this movie. Because since it was announced, I've been like basically trolling Bobby about it, because he was like everyone else in the world, he's been excited and up on it, and I was like, I don't know, it's stupid, I don't know if it's gonna be good or not. And like, even when it came out and he saw it and he loved it and he wanted to talk about it on the podcast, I'm like, maybe next week whatever. And I was like, you know, part of it was just trolling him, but part of it was like, you know, we've had enough of these like twee millennial coming of age Noah Baumbach super realism whatever type movie, whatever. He's like, and then Bobby was like, you know, it's set in 2003, and I was like, oh, it's set in 2003, that's so annoying. And just like, you know, oh, I mean, I'm sure it's great, but it's like, oh, is it original or what, you know? It's just messing with me. So then finally, he was really, at the end of it, he was basically tormented, because it's been going on for weeks, and I just kept like, I'm not going to see it this week, I don't feel like it.
It was a daily occurrence for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I was like, fine, Bobby, if it means that much to you, I'll see it. We could talk about it on the podcast. Oh, and the other thing is, like, I did try to see it one time, and it was the second, the second movie I was going to see on my two-screening afternoon. When I only paid for one, don't tell anybody. And I walked in, and I have not seen a theater that packed since Star Wars Episode 7, dude. Like, wall to wall packed. Like, and we'll get into this later. Like, it's so popular and adored. But yeah, so I finally went and saw it this week, and exactly two shots into the movie, I was like, this movie's freaking brilliant. And conclusion, this movie is a masterpiece.
Oh, thank God.
Oh my God. And I was also like, I was like, I'm not going to tell him what I thought about it until we record the podcast.
I was trying really hard to figure out what you thought.
Can you imagine?
Okay, that's good. If you had said that you thought it sucked, I would have just hung up.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been the most fascinating conversation, because no one has had that opinion yet, period. Like, you know?
Yeah, no one.
Yeah. I actually should have just come in and, like, played the part. That would have been a funny... But, so, yeah, it might be a boring conversation from here on out, because we both thought it was awesome. But, yeah, so...
just amazing.
It's weird. Just when the movie starts... You kind of get this feeling that she's so in control of the visual language and stuff, because it starts with that shot of the two of them sleeping together, like, so close, like, you know, this perfect little shot. And then a couple seconds later, they're in the car having this, first of all, listening to Grapes of Wrath and crying, which is so sweet. Yeah. And then this masterfully told, like, conversation that turns into an argument that turns into her jumping out the car door. But it's just, it's so, I don't know, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot to say about it, obviously, but from like that kind of classic filmmaking, like scene to scene, cut to cut, kind of like, I don't know how you describe it, just like being in control of like,
yeah,
what the audience
is
receiving.
It was just so efficient.
Yeah.
because I did see it several weeks ago when Robin did not.
Yeah.
but I wanted to see it again anyway, so I saw it again last night before we recorded, and it's just, the movie's only 90 minutes, but it packs so much into it.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's just every single, she knew exactly, Greta Gerwig knew exactly what she wanted from every single shot for the entire movie.
Yeah. I was thinking about that because the shots are not particularly interesting or whatever, but I feel like it was extremely well done, like the cinematography and like the shots you see, like it's clinical.
The editing almost. Is just, yeah, just clinical.
Yeah. You mean editing scene to scene or editing like within scenes?
All of it. I mean, every, like, there are just all so many times where it's just like she did this incredible decision to just, she would never care if she was coming in the beginning or end of a conversation.
Wow.
She would just pick whatever section she needed to get the effect that she wanted for that scene, and would get it just simply but efficiently, which allowed it to have much more depth than a lot of more kind of crowded movies with more convoluted writing, because the movie is so short, but there's so much in it. I was so shocked watching it again, because every single character she cast has their own purpose and their own role,
right,
and their own little story, but she doesn't waste 5 minutes doing a subplot on anybody. She just fits it so seamlessly into every single scene surrounding Lady Bird that you just don't even notice until the payoff hits.
Right.
And it's just, oh my God. I liked it a lot when I saw it the first time, and I liked it much more when I saw it again last night. It was just so clean.
Right. They heard Saoirse talking about it. She kind of described it as like a storybook or like a picture book of someone's life, like kind of just dipping in at certain points, you know?
Right.
But it doesn't quite feel like, it feels natural. It feels like the story is progressing just as it would, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you're right about kind of dipping into characters here and there and just like checking in. Basically, like, I was interested the difference between like a loose plot thread versus just like a little element that makes the world feel deeper and kind of like, you know, the iceberg effect or something, you know, whether it's sloppy or intentional. I think they're all intentional here. Like, you hear about the play director has some kind of depression or illness or something. It has that backstory that they mention a couple times, you know, and there's a couple sad moments. And then like the dad, who is first of all an amazing, amazing, amazing actor playing the father in this movie. But like his kind of story about depression, and like it's not explored for 20 minutes and like it's all finished. It's
right.
Like you just get all you need out of it, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, going back to the priest, his only backstory is the scene where they practice crying and he just immediately starts bawling.
Yeah, which, good Lord, that's so good.
And
yeah.
Then that one offhand comment of that girl before she gets picked up saying that his son died from a drug overdose.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to, and then him at the play where he's not satisfied with the reaction.
Yeah.
And then that's all those, and then his scene with Lady Bird's mother in the psych ward.
Yeah.
And that's all he's in those four scenes, probably totaling a minute and a half of screen time.
Right.
And he's a fully realized character. It's just incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and I'm still thinking about him the next day.
Right.
Like, yeah, he really, and part of this is maybe some of the best casting. Like, I adored this casting. Like,
yeah.
That, I knew that guy from, I think he was on the second season of The Newsroom in a bit part. and he's kind of been around a little bit. He's a great actor. But just, like, being able to pluck him out of wherever he is, you know, and, like, find him to be so perfect for this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, I mean, we can get into casting now, because almost every person, like, Beanie...
Yeah, Beanie Feldstein.
So Beanie Feldstein is just this up-and-coming, you know, comedian and comic actress, like, is so perfect.
She's so great.
Yeah. And, you know, even, like, the math teacher, who's the guy from Limitless on CBS, canceled too early, you know, I was like, where do I know that guy from? It's, like, Limitless on CBS. But it just, you know, just tiny little parts like that, you know. And then,
well, and I think that when you write each small part with the care that she did, it makes it so much easier for the actors to put in a good performance.
Right. Yeah. And they're like not burdened with like 5 pages of dialogue to like explain why they're feeling that, you know, whatever. It's just like,
yeah,
it, a lot of people are saying it just feels natural and true and, you know, just happens as it should, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I couldn't think, there's just nothing wasted. Everything was put to use exactly how she wanted to tell the story in exactly the order and the way that she wanted. And right. She did it just perfectly.
Yeah.
It was such a good movie.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, in terms of the writing, the risk you run with these kind of movies is if all the characters are too clever and quippy, you know, it doesn't feel natural.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it pulled that off in terms of, like, you know, there are a lot of jokes and Lady Bird is very clever for a 17-year-old or whatever, but did it feel natural enough for you?
Yeah, I thought it did, because I think a lot of, what I liked a lot about the way she wrote the high school kids is that they were all, I mean, when you're in high school, you have all these, you think that your worldview is just so powerful and yes, wide range.
So dope, yeah.
She and Lucas Hedges are naming a star. It's just, or the entirety of Timothy Chalamet's character.
Yeah,
which anything is, he says.
I mean, he was so one note, but I loved it, dude. Like, I was so with it.
Yeah,
like it was so funny.
The first line where they come to the Deuce, the parking lot.
Yeah.
And they say that they pranked the sister's car. He just goes, that's hella tight.
That's good.
It was just, she just, yeah, the writing was just so, I honestly can't think of, definitely not a movie I've seen this year, definitely not a movie in a while that I've seen that, like you said, made use of that iceberg effect so effectively because, or with such intention, because there were so many times where you'd just jump in the middle of something, you'd be in and out in 45 seconds, and then it would come back around 30 minutes later.
Right.
And you'd realize just how, like, they would have a very deep emotional connection to everything else that was happening in the story.
Yeah.
There's just so many just tiny things that she stitched together. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But at the same time, it doesn't feel like you're jumping around or, like, just popping in for a second to get what you need and getting out. Like, it feels, I don't know, like, the moments feel so real. You kind of live in them enough, you know, to, like, for them to feel... Like, I felt like I was just on the ride of a normal movie, you know, pace-wise and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I did too. I think it's just because she did such a good job of just having all of these things just orbit Lady Bird the whole movie.
Yeah, that she's the center of it is super, yeah, important. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it would, I just kept thinking of it, just the word that kept coming to mind was just clean and efficient. Right. And just how she directed it.
Dude, I don't know if I've seen a movie this year that was just a tight 90 minutes like that. Like, you know.
No.
Every movie's too long these days.
Yeah.
Especially yeah. By comparison, yeah. I just had the thought that it's kind of, you know, it's set in 2003. There's a little bit of like they listen to whatever song. Like, she walks into the party and mm-hmm. instead of like whatever hip hop song it would be these days, it's like Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I had the thought, it's kind of like Boyhood done correctly, you know, like it's
don't,
like,
hate on Boyhood.
Oh, you
don't
like Boyhood.
Don't do that.
Oh, that's right. You love Boyhood. Right. I think if you're setting out to do what Boyhood did in a normal movie or whatever, this is like, this is.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Like. They got enough of like showing what's on TV, the Iraq War, Matt Lauer, whatever, you know, like, and like, oh, this is the song from this year. But like, more importantly, this is what is happening in this time in the world and in this person's life, you know,
mm-hmm.
in like the natural human moments that we all relate to. I think that's why kind of it feels so universal, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, like, she's not like an exceptional. She's not presented as an exceptional person.
Right. She's just, you
really
know,
with anything. She's just kind of, yeah, she's just trying to live her life and figure out what she wants.
And so, like, openly, you know, like a high school kid does that changes her name to Lady Bird, you know, it's just
yeah.
like, like, no, no, no armor up, I guess, like hard on sleeve, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just feels really natural. One huge thing, obviously, is the mother-daughter kind of relationship that's depicted, with Laurie Metcalf just killing it here. Like, I don't know I've seen her in before, but man, I mean, just like there's so much, like we've been saying, so much underneath these characters, you know, like mm-hmm. if you saw it on the surface level, you'd just be like, oh, she gets mad and they have arguments and occasionally they have sweet moments or whatever. But like, you just know that there's this life underneath.
Yeah, I mean, well, she has that, just that, not even really a throwaway line, but that tiny snippet where she says that her mother was an abusive alcoholic.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. That's all you need to understand why she's so aggressively parental with Lady Bird.
Right, and also that Lady Bird is being difficult because she's a typical high school student, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, tiny moments of the dad getting laid off, or like, how are we going to make the money work and stuff. And like, that gorgeous dynamic when Lady Bird's out, just had her first kiss and first time saying I love you and all this stuff, and she comes in all happy and she's like, mm-hmm. your father was laid off today, you know, just like reality hitting you really hard, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that is so true to life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but I just love that. I know that a lot of the movie they were arguing and a lot of the movie they were at odds, I guess, but it's like that scene when they're picking out dresses and they're like, you're insufferable. Oh, I love that dress so much. Like that kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know, like
mm-hmm.
you always feel like it's at the end of the day, it's okay, because this is just, you know, it's just a mother daughter, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then like, even when she's in the, whatever that cornfield thing is with Danny, and she says that, like, Danny says to her that her mom is really hard on her, and she immediately responds like, yeah, but she loves me a lot.
Right. Big heart, whatever she said.
Yeah. And so, but then at the same time, you're also, my worry was that they were going to just have filled the movie with instances of people saying that her mom loved her a lot. And then you didn't really get any sense of that.
Right.
But there were a few just like really small moments, like when she comes into her room and just kind of like folds that blanket and looks at her for a second, or,
yeah.
There's another time.
Well, when she comes in at Thanksgiving and they're all high and making a microwave pizza or whatever. And just like that little, we missed you, Lady Bird. You know, like that's all you need.
Yeah, just, oh, so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just every, there were just so many instances of just those tiny lines that packed so much punch behind them.
Right.
That it enabled her to really just be able to spread out a lot more, I felt.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, we are aspiring or whatever screenwriters, like that's like exactly, that's the name of the game, is like putting feeling and information in. There's no, like, you know, we everybody's having these conversations about expository dialogue. This is an example of, you never need to write expository dialogue in your entire, like, there's no reason, no gosh darn reason to write a word of it.
No.
Because it's like you felt everything you needed. You knew everything you needed
mm-hmm.
to,
yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't need to hear like, oh, you know, last summer, or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This movie. And then anything that Taylor Sheridan writes is just, there's no exposition
right.
and they're all phenomenal scripts. So.
Yeah. It's like they figured out, like they hacked the system, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, what's shocking about this, I guess it shouldn't be because she's a great artist, but Greta as a director, you know, there's never a guarantee that she'd be so excellent, but in her first movie mm-hmm. ever, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
But she's clearly, and she wrote it as well, but she's clearly just so remarkably empathetic, you know, and like,
mm-hmm.
This also proved that in doing the bomb box stuff, Frances Ha, all that stuff, she's really clearly been involved and understanding and probably contributing in a great deal to how real those mm-hmm. films feel, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it just feels like an extension and like almost more clear. And, you know, I just loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was just really impressed with, I mean, we've talked a lot about the dialogue and the writing, but there were so many instances where she eschewed dialogue to just realize that she could tell something more powerfully with a camera.
Yeah,
by just filming something for a quick 1 second cut and then cutting away, and then there were so many moments of that, because it was the combination of just, like I've said, stitching all these small they sound like throwaway lines that come back to pack the emotional punch, along with just these small cuts to clearly set this. She was excellent at just setting the stage wherever you are, just immediately, so you always know where you are.
Right.
She wasted no time in doing that, and then she had so many small cuts, just expanding on the story in a way that only a visual medium can do. And then it was just all added up. It was just added up to this 90-minute incredible movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, like, I usually don't like it when there's that scene of her and Julie, Lady Bird and Julie, walking past all the houses, and it's like they're walking in a line, but the background keeps changing as they cut. You know what I was talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And I usually don't like that, because I feel like it always kind of takes you out of whatever you're watching. But then that came back around at the end of the movie when she's walking through New York and the same thing is happening, and you're just reminded that, because and that comes right off the back of that whole discussion about how much she really does like Sacramento.
Right.
And you're just reminded just visually, just literally in the background, of just how, not like how much she didn't realize, but just like the context behind everything that she's been thinking is rooted in where she lives and what she thinks about it. And then now she goes to this different place and it's still kind of like the same idea behind that. So,
yeah,
I was just, I don't know. This was a great movie. I got a hot take.
We should talk about, first of all, I'd never seen Timothée Chalamet before. So that's really? Who that is. Yeah,
that's right. Cause you haven't seen Interstellar.
Is he in Interstellar?
Yeah, for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So he's Matthew McConaughey's son.
That's hilarious.
He's got like 10 lines. Can we talk about random cameo? Shout out to Danielle McDonald, a.k.a. Patty Cakes, for having a one line of dialogue in this movie.
Wait, what? The Patty Cakes? Well,
who is she? She was her official title of her character is Another Young Lady.
Okay.
In the abortion scene where Lady Bird gets suspended, she's that girl who just says one line and that's it. So a huge shout out to her. Patty Cakes, awesome movie.
Absolutely had no idea. That's hilarious.
I know, yeah. I didn't even notice the first time I saw it.
Wow. Yeah, but like, I think the actors playing these people are very important to it being mm-hmm. so successful. Like,
yeah.
the god Lucas Hedges, every time we see him, he's just so... Like, that's the kind of natural you need. Like, the way he pulled off that scene where he starts crying about Please Don't Tell Anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is so, like, you could screw that up so many different ways by crying too much, not enough, too early, whatever. Like, but it just, like, feels mm-hmm. so gosh darn real, you know?
And then, yeah, and then she just held on it for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were so many times where she would just cut as soon as you realized what was happening, what the intended emotion was. But this was the one time where she just stays on it.
Yeah, because... Kind of like as a high schooler, that first time that happening to you or whatever, like that moment feels longer in your memory. You know, it feels mm-hmm. more intense. Yeah.
And the casting of Timothée Chalamet is perfect, because I don't know if you've read any interviews with him, but he is basically as pretentious as that character.
Really?
Yeah. That's interesting. in just like a totally honest way, like that guy also. Like the Kyle character is a bit of a hypocrite, obviously, right. As the film goes on, where he ends up with a cell phone, which is pretty funny.
He does? Wait, when?
Yeah, when they're driving to prom, he's calling on one of his friends on his cell phone.
That's because he forgot it and I forgot it, like whatever hot take he had a week ago. Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah. And then him not wanting to participate in the economy and live by bartering.
Yeah, I'm trying to live by bartering.
But Timothy, in real life, in his interviews, Timothée Chalamet has a little pretentious answers to some things. But it was so it was great casting on that one as well.
Oh, the father, the actor who plays the father.
Oh my god!
Ridiculous,
the
dude.
The kindest man in movie history.
Yeah, and just like so unassuming, natural, sweet. Mm-hmm. Like does his job so perfectly. Like,
so, well, like, just that one when you find out that he's been struggling with depression, and then Lady Bird gets suspended, and her mom just starts ripping her, and she asks the dad, to participate. And he's playing solitaire. But then later in the conversation, it comes out that she asks him to drop her off at school far away so that nobody else has to see how cheap and non-luxurious their car is, and how you realize that he's just been kind of holding that in because he loves her so much and doesn't want to hurt her, right. Even though it is hurting him. It just kills you.
Yep. It just details like that. And it's like, that's a throwaway at the beginning that you kind of don't remember. And Lady Bird probably hasn't thought about it in a couple months or you know, whatever. But like, it comes back just like it does in real life.
Yeah.
And then when
he's going out for the job interview and Miguel comes in and he just tightens his tie and wishes him good luck.
So sweet, yeah. But man, he was so freaking good. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody was so good.
The girl who plays the popular girl or the cool girl. Yeah. How, like, you couldn't have, if you're trying to design the perfect person to play that role, like, you know, every single thing about her and her performance was so excellent, you know, and just the
I like the line where she's just like, I hate dishonesty.
Are you still my friend? What a hot take. Guess. And one of my favorite lines in the movie was Timothy Chalamet, I haven't lied in 2 years. Just the way that they're all playing these like freaking basic high school kids, you know, just like,
yeah.
And like, just even as a, like, you know, being a few years removed from that, you're like, ah, oh, they're so, these kids, you know, but they're just, I loved how you didn't feel like you were looking down on them or anything. You were just like, you're with them.
Yeah, of course they feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And they feel it so like, truly, you know, in themselves, like, you know, it's all very real and yeah. And then maybe the biggest part of the whole thing, the goddess Saoirse Ronan, dude.
Oh my God. I mean, she was phenomenal.
Yeah. The accent is unbelievably good because we've heard her talk as an Irish woman, you know, it's ridiculous how well she did. Like,
I kept waiting for it to crack and it was
in any way at all. Yeah. Like, ridiculous. And I had this thought before I even saw the movie, like, a movie like this, as well as it would have always worked out, it kind of only would work so well with Saoirse, basically, you know, or someone like her in this kind of role. Yeah.
She was just incredible.
Yeah. And it's like, it's another one of those Saoirse, and I call her Saoirse, one, because I'm on a first name basis with her, and two, because I like saying her name. it's one of those Saoirse performances that, like, it doesn't quite, like, I don't know, jump out at you as being great or whatever. But then when everyone says best actress nomination guaranteed, you're like, oh, of course, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, just her ability to switch from just immediately from indignation to, I mean, that's kind of like her default setting as a character, but indignation to panic when her mom stops talking to her.
Oh, dude. Okay. Can we talk about the most heartbreaking gosh darn scene in that movie? Like, I felt that so viscerally, just like the please talk to me mom thing. Like, how as a, I mean, I love the character of the mom and I feel everything she feels and blah, blah, blah. But how as a person could you handle that for that long? Someone begging you to just, oh my gosh, it's ridiculous, man. But yeah, sorry, you were saying something. being able to switch.
Just her ability to toggle between, just with this velocity that Lady Bird does,
right,
was just masterful.
And pull it off to feel natural as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, this movie could have been really bad.
Yeah, it could have been
super boring.
It could have been twee, basic, done already, boring, you know, annoying if it was like, if the tone hadn't hit right. And if the actors hadn't, you know, come off well, like, we've seen movies like that before, kind of like the studio that isn't A24 but wants to be A24, you know? But this is the real deal, man. This is how you do it, you know? And also proves that the genre is as worthwhile as anything, you know, you could be making right now. Yeah, I think that's all I have for, like, the meat of the movie. Anything else?
No.
Okay. So, with the acknowledgement that we both adored this movie and thought it was excellent, I am just curious to basically kind of get to the bottom of why universally everyone loved this movie so much. Like, broke records for best reviewed film on Rotten Tomatoes ever, beating Toy Story 2 and Get Out and Saving Private Ryan or whatever, you know? Stephen Colbert the other night called it one of the best films he's ever seen. And just like it packed audiences. It's still in theaters, like, you know, the indie ones are kind of working their way out or whatever, but it's just like, it's still playing and still my theater was full, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, why this, there's plenty of great movies every year, all the time. But like, why this movie specifically so universally adored?
I mean, well, it's just so authentic because like you were saying earlier, Greta Gerwig was just so empathetic with every single person that as soon as one person sees it, you're not going to be able to, you have to leave the theater and tell somebody else to go see it. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
you think so? Yeah.
Like, you just feel compelled to tell people to see it because it's just such like a, it's just so, it is completely relatable no matter who you are, because everybody struggles with various things that the movie touches on, and the movie touches on with them so gently and kindly that I don't know. I feel like the word of mouth would just be so powerful because, like I said, like, it's hard not to love this movie because it's just, I know that some people say that it's like too slow or it's
not.
Lady Bird isn't relatable or things like that.
No,
I don't really agree with that.
No,
I think that every single character is just so, like I said earlier, fully realized and treated with such care that it creates it's a simple story, but with just so many complete characters around it that you just can't help but get swept up in it while you're watching. And then when you're done watching, you want to tell people about it because it was just so beautiful and so easy to watch.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
But I mean, it's spreading because it was 162, right? Rotten Tomatoes.
Reviews? Yeah, it might break 200 here in a minute.
Good lord.
Which is crazy.
It's still at 100?
Yeah. Oh, no, it has not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it has not.
I don't know. I think that if you look at other movies that are kind of universally praised, they're all either something completely new or they're just kind of the platonic ideal of something that already exists. And I think this obviously is falling into the latter because I don't know how you would tell the story about a girl's senior year in high school better than that.
I mean, first of all, it's 195 fresh, zero rotten reviews at the time of recording.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Part of me is like, I know why people like us like it our age, like it's kind of, we're reminded of things.
Well, because you can relate to Lady Bird and you can relate to the parents. If you're a parent or if you're older, you can relate to them. There's somebody you can latch onto in this movie.
That's
and
true.
And understand.
Yeah. Like the 58-year-old guy from Wisconsin or whatever can relate to something or, you know, can get some humanity out of it. Yeah.
Right.
It's so interesting. Like, because when you think of universal appeal, you think of the broadest Star Wars whatever type movie,
right?
But this is an indie movie, thoroughly indie, you know, A24, and like anyone who sees it will like it like that, you know. It's it's crazy. And like, even just like, I had seen the trailer a bunch of times, seeing other movies obviously, I had heard those jokes every time, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the audience had heard those jokes every time, but those jokes killed in the theater every single time. You know,
yeah.
it's if like, I don't even know. It's like, it's, they're just so open to it. Like they, you know, but yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything to say other than it's excellent. It's great filmmaking. It's a movie that had to be a movie. It couldn't have just been a book or whatever, you know, the way film form is used, in whatever way, editing and construction and stuff. Greta Gerwig is a masterful artist. Like the last few sequences, I was just like, this is absolutely masterful, like handled perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm done.
I am too.
we're recommending it though, huh?
Nah.
Yeah. This was all a lie. I actually didn't see it. And I also didn't like it.
Welcome to the facade. Obviously, I'm strongly recommending it. Yeah. You've probably already seen it. Everybody's probably going to see it.
So. Colbert said a thing. I just watched his interview with Saoirse, and he said it was an interesting, like, there's no way if you revealed all the plot points, like all the spoilers, quote unquote, you could about this movie, it wouldn't like ruin it for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. I think that's true. Because it's about like the full the full feeling and experience of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, definitely go see Lady Bird, guys. All right, I think I think that's it for now. Thanks for listening, guys, if you're still here. Yeah, we'll talk to you next episode. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, guys. I just want to
see the light. All right, that is our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Just some plug down here. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Patreon at Four Thumbs Pod. That's the handle you'll look for. Continue the conversation and support if you're so inclined. Feedback, comments, questions, constructive criticism, all welcome. Our theme song is Light by San Holo. Our logo was found on Google Images. You can find this podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks to Bobby for being awesome as always, and join us next week for another conversation. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.